This is always a wonderful opportunity, and I praise the Lord for it. Thank Pastor Eric for the opportunity, and also want to thank Elder Kevin Cannon for this ability to do this today. So if you would, please turn to Jude chapter 1. If you can, go to the book of Revelation and take a left. The next to the last book of the Bible. I was informed today that there is no chapter 2. No, I did. We did not coordinate on the songs today, but the last song we sang was so appropriate for this message because it really speaks to the assurance we receive from Jude, as well as the warnings that he gives. So before we begin, let's open in prayer, please. Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you, God, for the opportunity before me, God, to preach. It's a blessing and a privilege and a joy, and I thank you for it. I thank you for each one here today, those that are with us in person and those on stream, God. I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage today, God, you would just open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, that we would see how timely it is, even though it was written so long ago. It is appropriate for us today to heed the warnings and claim the promises that we find in this short but powerful letter by Jude. We thank you for the time we have now. We pray, Lord, you would be exalted and glorified in all we do and say. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jude chapter 1, hear the word of the Lord. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only true God, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading of the word. We're going to examine these verses and look over the rest of the chapter as well. Again, this is a timely message for us in this day. It's a powerful warning that Jude gives. Jude is the brother of James, as we read, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can find that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, where it gives a listing of Jesus and his brothers. Judas is the last one listed. He is mentioned here as Jude, translated by the English translators to avoid any kind of confusion with Judas Iscariot. So, Jude, the brother of James, the half-brother of Jesus, he writes to the church. When we look at this letter, we say, who is he writing to? And he's writing to the church. He's writing to the called. When we think of the church, the word in Greek for church literally means called out ones. So, we are the church. And he's writing to us to give us a warning. And not only is he writing to us in the church, but he also intends for us to take the warning, take the promises and the assurance that he gives in this wonderful letter and apply it in our lives in a way that blesses not only us, but those that are engaged with these false teachers that he's warning about. We are also the preserved in Jesus Christ, sanctified by God the Father. And because of that, we have assurances in what Jude brings out to us in this letter. He wants us to understand that the significance and the seriousness of this letter was brought about because of certain men that have crept in unnoticed. Notice in verse 3 there, he's saying he was intending to write concerning our common salvation. And that is a wonderful topic to understand that in Christ, all peoples, no matter the race, the gender, the nationality, the language, we come to Christ in the same way. Through faith in him, we are saved for eternal life. With repentance of our sins, confession to God, applying and believing what Christ accomplished for us on the cross is our common salvation. And yet he set that aside because of what was occurring with these false teachers that had crept in unnoticed. These were ungodly men. In no uncertain terms, he speaks to their ungodliness. They're nothing like God. When we think of that term, ungodly, the idea there is that whatever God is, these were nothing like him in any way, not in their character, not in their behavior, and not in their belief. So they're ungodly in their actions. It says there, turned the grace of our God into lewdness. And lewdness there is obscene or indecent behavior. So when we think of what these men were doing, they were turning the grace of our God into lewdness. Some translations will say licentiousness or lasciviousness. I just want to encourage you to understand the grace of our God is not a license to do whatever we want, but it is freedom to do what we should. It is not license to do what we want. It gives us freedom to do what we should. That is the intention of the grace of God in our lives, to understand. And yet, these false teachers were taking and twisting the grace of God into lewdness. And not only that, they were denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In their teachings, they were being false teachers in every way, ungodly. And because of that, the warning was given by Jude. And in this time and day that we live in, it is equally appropriate for us to understand. When we think of the church, we're talking about the church at large, the church far beyond the four walls of our building here, the church on television, radio, internet, live stream, books, magazines, podcasts. In many ways, false teachers have crept in unnoticed, and we need to be aware of them. And Jude gives us a marvelous letter to warn us to identify who these false teachers are, but not only that, to recognize how are we to respond in face of these false teachers. What are we to do in this day and age? How should we respond to these? And that's what he speaks of at length in verses 5 through 19. He goes through these verses and shows us and identifies in great measure who these false teachers are, what they do. He gives us examples in verses 5, 6, and 7. He gives us examples from the Old Testament. These are groups of people that have been judged, because above all, Jude is teaching us that God will judge, and he shows us that because God has judged. And in each of these three cases, verse 5, 6, and 7, he shows judgment. In verse 5, he judged the Israelites who he saved out of Egypt and afterward destroyed those who did not believe. So the judgment there was based on their unbelief. And even today, God judges unbelief. So if anyone here is not a believer in Christ, take the heed the warning that Jude gives in this marvelous letter to recognize and understand God judges unbelief. He rewards and blesses faith. And we'll see that in this letter, but he judges unbelief. And not only that, in verse 6, he judges the rebellion of some angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. And they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So these angels that you can read about, we believe in Genesis chapter 6, is most likely the setting for the events that occurred with these fallen angels. But nevertheless, even if we're not certain the situation, we know Scripture's teaching us here that these angels have been reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They will be judged for what they did. They are being held, and they will be judged appropriately. And then verse 7, we read, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, you know, gave themselves over to sexual immorality. And went after strange flesh. So their sin was sexual immorality and perversion. And because of that, they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So theirs was a judgment on earth in being burned up with fire from heaven and also suffering eternity in hell. So these are three examples that Jude gives us of judgment in the past. And then he goes on to liken the ones that were currently had crept in unawares to them in verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers. So he's speaking of dreamers, whether it's an idea that they are either detached from reality or they're appealing to false prophecies to entice people. Regardless what it is, they defile the flesh, it says there. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. And he goes on to say there in verse 9 that even Michael the archangel did not speak evil of the devil when he contended about the body of Moses. Even Michael the archangel did not do that. He dared not bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you," there in verse 9. So this is what these false teachers were doing and do today. This is, again, timely in the time that he wrote it, but it's contemporary to us in our day. We need to be equally aware of false teachers in our day, because verse 10 speaks to that, that even though Michael would not do it, it says these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. These people are speaking out of ignorance. They're speaking in a way that is far beyond what they should be doing. And we see this even in our day, the reality of people that are speaking out of ignorance and really reviling. And reviling really is a word that means to speak evil of or blaspheme. So when you think of revile, what does that word mean? You can take the first and the last letter off, and what do you have? You have evil, and it's to speak evil. And we don't want to revile, but that's what these do, and they do it to an extent that their doom is certain. And that's what we read there in verse 11. Woe to them. And that woe is speaking of doom to them. Because then Jude gives three more examples from Scripture concerning these false teachers that were active in their day and equally active or more so in our day. Brothers and sisters, we want to know that these times are treacherous. These times are serious that we need to understand, because daily we have people that are being accessed through any number of means, like we mentioned before, with internet, books, radio, magazines, television. The false teachers are out there and they're plentiful, and we need to be on guard against what they're doing, what they're teaching. But here in verse 11, Jude is speaking to the false teachers, speaking of those that go in the way of Cain. And that, of course, is the first murderer of the Bible, who murdered his younger brother. You can read about that. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of Abel's murder by Cain. The idea there that this was an idea of rebellion. He was rebelling against God, an act of unbelief, that his sacrifice was unaccepted by God. And because of that, he wound up murdering his brother. So these false teachers are deadly. They're dangerous and they're deceptive. And we need to be on guard for what they do. And not only that, but those that run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. And Balaam, of course, is mentioned in Numbers over a series of chapters, speaking about he was hired to curse Israel, but he could not do it. God will not allow him to do it. And so he devised a scheme to lead others into sin through sexual immorality. And he did it for money. And then the last, of course, is to perish in the rebellion of Korah. And Korah, of course, was a Levite who was jealous of Moses. Korah wanted to be a priest, and he could not be a priest. And he also wanted to be a leader of the nation. And so he challenged Moses and perished in the challenge, he and many of his followers. So these are just a few of the examples from history that Jude is giving, that God judges sin. He judges sinners, and he is going to judge sinners in the future. So those that are active today that are mocking, that doubt, need to understand what Scripture is saying here. Now the next few verses, verse 12, Jude is speaking about these are spots in your love feast, blemishes, stains in your love feast. Some translations say hidden rocks or hidden reefs. But the idea that these have crept in unnoticed, they are among us. They are taking advantage of the love feast, the agape feast that the early church was having, and selfishly serving only themselves. But notice how he takes illustrations from nature here, where he talks about they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. You know, this chapter really follows 2 Peter chapter 2, where Peter said these false teachers were coming. Jude says they're here. And Peter gave an illustration of wells without water. But the idea there is the same, offering something that is not going to be delivered. Clouds without water, wells without water. It's not going to deliver. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. They are not going to deliver fruit. They're not going to produce anything. These false teachers, they offer and they do not deliver. They do not ever deliver in a material way for eternal blessing. These are false teachers that are wicked to the core. They're deceptive. They are ungodly. And because of that, verse 13 goes on to say, in this idea of the illustrations from nature, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. The idea there is lots of storm, lots of action, and all it produces is filth thrown up on a beach, for example, after a storm at sea. The idea here is all they do is produce filth. There's nothing good in these people. Not one thing does Jude mention that is good from these false teachers. They're wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That idea there is speaking of eternity and hell. The wandering stars are shooting stars. You may have seen shooting stars in the past on summer nights when they sometimes fly through the air. They glow, they dazzle for a moment, and they burn out and they're gone. And it's the same idea with these false teachers. They don't last. They don't produce anything that is helpful or beneficial. Where they came from and where they go is irrelevant and immaterial because they produce nothing. They help nothing. We need to be on guard in these days, understanding the seriousness of what Jude is putting before us. And he goes on to talk about in these verses concerning prophecies from the Old Testament. And not only from the Old Testament, but outside Scripture. He speaks of Enoch. Now, Enoch, the book of Enoch, is one that was held in high regard by the early church and by the Jews. And here he references the book of Enoch, speaking of the prophecy that, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the ungodly, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Christ is coming to judge. So we need to be understanding and expectation of that very truth. You know, when we think in this day and age, when is Christ coming? I've heard people speak to that lately, thinking about that point. And I'm always drawn back to the truth of Scripture that says, he's going to come as a thief in the night. Christ is going to come when we do not expect it. Now, how that will be, I don't know, because it seems many of us are expecting it, and we should live in anticipation of it. But Christ is going to return, and he's going to judge. And when he does, these will be judged, and every sin that has been done will be dealt with. So we look at these following verses here. For time's sake, we want to consider what he says there in verse 17. We want to consider that. And he's really calling us to remember the words which are spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that mockers would come in the last time, and they were going to be walking according to their own ungodly lusts. No, these people do not want freedom. What they want is autonomy. No, freedom is still an idea of being able to act and do within a scope. But these are people that do not want freedom. They want total freedom. They want autonomy. They want to be able to act with no regard, with no oversight. And yet that is not possible. And because of that, they are futile in what they're doing. They are not going to be effective. They never have been effective and never will be effective. So when we think of what Jude is calling us to do, he's calling us to remember. When we see these false teachers at work in the world, we're not to lose heart. We're to remember that this has been foretold. All of these have been foretold of. You know, this is according to God's plan. And part of the wonder that he gives us in this is to recognize that and to hold fast to that. Because he says, you know, these are sensual persons. You know, the idea there is even beyond men, it's women as well, maybe perhaps even children. Sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now, that statement there really speaks to the idea of their ungodliness. They do not have the Spirit. And lacking the Spirit is really lacking Christ. He says that anyone that does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his, is what Scripture tells us. So to have the Spirit is essential. And from this point on, Jude really is encouraging us in four ways. How are we to respond in light of this, in light of the false teachers that seem to be so prevalent? And he really speaks of how to contend. Are we to go and band together and root them out, go through our churches and root them out to remove them? That's not what he's saying for us to do. He really says in verses 20 and 21 some wonderful truth for us to hold fast to. But you, beloved, he says, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And there we see the contrast between those that have no Spirit and Christians who pray in the Holy Spirit. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith. This is really a reference back to the early part of the letter there where he spoke about that, about the faith, contending for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. This faith is not my faith or your faith or your faith, because our faith is not most holy. This is the body of truth that we have embodied in the Word of God. The faith, building ourselves up in the truth of Scripture, praying in the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but to keep ourselves in the love of God. And how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Jesus spoke to this, abide in me, keep my commandments, and you will abide in me, he says in the book of John. So we keep ourselves in the love of God by keeping his commandments. This is what he calls us to. Not only to keep ourselves in the love of God, but to look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are to do this. We are to live in expectation that Christ is returning, that he is coming, and he is coming soon. And not only are we to do this for ourselves, but we are to look to others, to help others. So we don't remove these false teachers. We're to identify them and build ourselves up in our most holy faith through the Word of God, the truths of Scripture. Keep ourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, looking for the return of Christ, to live in expectation of that great event. And not only that, to seek to help others who have been affected or influenced by these false teachers. And he speaks to that in verses 22 and 23. And he really gives degrees there of that. Some, you know, to have compassion upon, making a distinction. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So We recognize that some are deeper in false teaching than others. Some have just been exposed to it. Others are deeper in it. But we, as the Word, as the people of God, are to act on behalf of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and seek to redeem people that have been led into false teaching. This is so important. Not necessarily the teachers themselves, but it's speaking of those that have been influenced by those teachers. This is what we're called to do, to help bring them back from error. We must do this because we have the only truth that is out there, not just our church, but those that hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to reach out and seek to help those that have been influenced by these false teachers. We are to be salt and light in a dark and fallen world. And we are seek to help remedy the people that have been influenced and impacted by these false teachers. Now the last two verses in the letter really deserve an entire message on their own. But the blessing here for us to understand is what Christ has promised us, even in the midst of these false teachers. They have not been removed from us. They are here in the world. They live alongside, and yet we have to act and behave and understand that we are kept. Notice in this letter that judgment for the false teachers is reserved, but salvation for Christians is preserved. Notice verse 1, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And here in verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Isn't that a blessing to think God is able and he will do it? He has promised to do it. And just as we sang earlier, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a blessing to consider. Psalm 16 tells us that in his presence is fullness of joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Our God is sovereign, but we are to take action. We are to respond in obedience to what he leads us to do. If anyone here does not know Christ today, I pray they would heed the warning of this letter and claim the promise that it gives as well. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, for what you've provided to us in this letter from Jude. I pray today, God, we would be about the Father's business in seeking to be obedient to the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, today for any who do not know Christ as Savior, that they would say today is the day they have been called, that they would be sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ through faith in him. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.